Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Welcome back. It's quarter number four, the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante. Back in with me is Andrew P. Shea and Bob Flounders. Just to shake things up, make things a little bit different, guys, I'm going to remember to announce our winner, and that is Joe from Jeanette. He asked a question that allowed us to talk more and more about the offensive line, so you know that's always going to be a favorite of Ross's. One more item to clean up from quarter number three, guys. In the conversation when we had a question, what was more important to a good running game, the offensive line or the running backs? And by the way, guess which one Ross said.
We don't need to guess.
And it sparked my memory about putting in different players at running back and succeeding. And I mentioned a guy, a player, former Penn State player by the name of Shelly Hammonds, who had been moved to defense, defensive back, was moved back to the offense because just for depth at running back. Lo and behold, the first couple running backs were injured. He stepped in. It was 1990, and he rushed for 208 yards in that game against Boston College. And to me, perhaps even the more interesting little piece of trivia there, 208 yards in one game, and for the season, he rushed for 266 yards total. So there you go. All right, guys, it's quarter number four. We're back to our series of Bob's 21 for the 2021 season. We are just racing through this, and we're up to item number 11, Bob, on your list, which is keep that 2022 class together. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, Penn State clearly, especially when I wrote this, I think it was about 6 months ago. No, but I mean, the sting of the 2021 class kind of was resonating in my head. You know, that class, they lost out on some really, I think, promising prospects. It certainly wasn't a class that was as highly regarded as some of the more recent classes that James has assembled. So, you know, when you have a class that's, you know, not that highly regarded, you want to make sure the next class is up to the standards that he's set. And certainly Penn State is off to a very good start with the 2022 class. I think all of the kids in it, at least at the time that I wrote this, they're all four stars. A couple of them were very, very high up on the four-star pecking order. And, you know, it's early, so you don't want to have a lot of decommitments. You don't want to have a lot of other kids, you know, looking around. The team went 4-5. You know, they're not all from nearby, so other programs are going to continue to recruit these kids. There's been some coaching turnover, you know, at different spots on Penn State staff. So, you know, it's one thing to get the verbal commitment. It's another thing to get them to actually sign for the scholarship. And this looks like a pretty good class, and I'm sure we'll be talking a lot about it the rest of the way. But they just can't afford, after the class that they're bringing in, they can't afford to lose the key players in this class.
Andy, before you go ahead, I just wanted to mention there was one decommitment. It was a tight end after Tyler Bowen moved on. The question that I have, and I haven't gone in and studied this historically, Andy, but the tight end who transferred was from Georgia. A good number of members of this 22 class are from Pennsylvania. Do you think that being local, part of that is, gee, my parents, my family could come see me play? There's an inherent advantage that you have with the local kids that you don't have from the kids coming from Georgia, say. Do you think there's some emphasis by James Franklin and his staff to say, let's get back to our roots, let's get to the local kids?
Yeah, I don't think it ever hurts, James, right? There's, what, seven hard commits in this class right now. Four of them are from Pennsylvania, right? So, you know, at a third of the way through the class, they're top 10, and he's doing well in the state in a year where the talent is up a little bit. But in terms of the depth, But I don't think they do, because what I think from, you know, the covering high school football and watching the college, you know, following college recruiting as closely as I do sometimes, the thing that strikes me is sometimes it's a kid-to-kid thing. Sometimes geography matters, and sometimes it absolutely means nothing. It's inherently, it doesn't mean much anymore collectively. Like, it's not as big a deal to a Pennsylvania kid to go to Penn State anymore. And it's not as big deal for a kid from Georgia who's highly regarded to go to Georgia or Georgia Tech anymore. It's just more, it's an individual case-by-case basis in terms of whether geography matters. And sometimes it really does. And sometimes it absolutely has no influence at all. So it's a very wishy-washy kind of answer, but it just is. The kids are more national, and each program is more national, and geography still only matters on a kid-by-kid basis.
Andy, I think you are 100% right. That was a wishy-washy answer.
That's why I gave the opening, Jim. I'm like, here, let me give Jim a softball to swing at.
I appreciate that. I do think, though, Andy, your point is valid that some of these kids, they're national recruits. The five-star kids, you see Ohio State, you know, bring in the quarterback from Texas that we referenced. They'll go to the state of Washington and bring in five-star kids. Alabama and Clemson do the same thing, those very elite schools. Yep, Bob, here I am. One of the big names in this class is Caden Saunders from Ohio. He's a commitment to Penn State, but he's been blowing up things with the testing. He ran, I think, a 4.31 40 somewhere. My great fear is those Buckeyes are going to swoop in on him.
Well,
you could talk about Ohio State's 2021 class, and they pull a five-star quarterback out of Pennsylvania, the McCord kid. I mean, it's just what Ohio State. I get the feeling what Ohio State wants in their territory, they're going to take. And I don't know. I don't know if they are looking at some other options as a wideout, or they don't view Saunders the way that a lot of schools do. But he sure seems like a heck of a prospect. And Jimmy, you're right. You know, I mean, it wouldn't be the first time Ohio State at the last minute has kind of pulled the rug out from under Penn State, trying to get, especially a wide receiver. They did that with Julian. They did that with Julian Fleming, although he never technically committed to Penn State, but I think a lot of people felt like he was going to go to Penn State. So who knows? I just think that, hey, this sure looks, it smells, looks, acts like a really good top 10 class. So you just want to keep it together, and you want to continue to add really talented players to the class, because it's important. I felt like, you know, after the talent Penn State has lost on the field the last 2 years, via the draft or what have you, or, you know, the Journey Brown situation, you know, I feel like the gap is starting to widen a little bit between Ohio State and Penn State. And, you know, then he needs to start bringing in, you know, top 10, 15 classes more regularly after the top 21 class that kind of got away from him a little bit.
And we were talking about the 2018 class where they seem to have peaked. 2018, 19, 20, 21, the class ranking has gone down every year since. Let's see if we could squeeze in our second item here, Bob, which was get an unproven defensive end ready for heavy duty.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest need Penn State has right now as we talk about it is, and who knows, maybe they feel better about their young talent in the defensive end room than we know. We just never see the guys. You lose Shaka Toney and you lose Jason Owe, two first-team All-Big Ten ends. Owe, the more you look at it, he is threatening to go into the first round of this draft, even after not playing much in college football. You lose those two. You know, Shane Simmons, yeah, he had a big game late in the year against a team that's not very good, but he was a veteran. He was probably a guy you could trust, and if he's healthy, he's a good player. They just don't have that many guys that we know about. Adisa Isaac's a guy we've heard about, but we didn't see him on the field a lot in 2020. So, you know, hopefully, hopefully John Scott has him raring to go in the spring and in the fall. And you hear a lot of good things about the transfer portal addition from Temple, Arnold
Ibukidi.
Ibukidi. Hopefully, Arnold, if you're listening, we got the name right. If not, the first time we hear you say it, we're going to make sure we get it right. But he's long. He looks like he's in great shape. He was very productive in a handful of games. I think they're going to take a long look at him. But after that, you just don't know about the Penn State defensive ends. They got to find some. They got to develop them. And you just don't know what it's going to look like on the field in the fall.
Hey, Andy, the thing is, even if we default say Arnold is going to be that second tight end along with Deesa Isaac, Penn State typically plays a rotation of four defensive ends, right? In a way, yeah. I almost look at it as they need four starters there.
Yeah, you're 100% right. And I don't know. It's been at least a decade since I've seen this position, like in this, not in a desperate situation, but you literally. Yeah, I mean, this is, if you would say, give me one player who this is the most important offseason for on the Penn State roster that you know about, I would say it's Deesa Isaac. And not because I'm saying he's not a good football player, but he's going to have he has to get better and figure some things out, because it wouldn't be good for them. They're going to need him. Not like they want him on the field. They're going to need him on the field. Yes, they have young players, but I mean, if you're talking about Joseph Darkwell right now in 2021, that seems a little early for a project recruit from Germany. Like, you know, it just feels like it's a position that's kind of not gotten away from them, but it became vacant fast, right?
Bob,
I think Darkwell is a tackle.
Yeah.
The guy I think that you're going to have to hear a lot, you better hear a lot from in the spring and the summer, is a guy named Vilbert Smith. I think he's another guy. He played a little bit in the fall, but Aisha, you're exactly right. Jimmy, you're right. Penn State doesn't really play two defensive ends, and if they do, they get worn down. They have to be able to play the backup defensive ends a couple series a game in meaningful moments, because it's just too many snaps. And you saw that come back and bite them, you know, in 2018 when it was just Etor Gross Matos and Sharif Miller almost every game. They didn't really trust Shaka Toney at that point.
And by the way, Bob, I think it's Smith Vilbert.
Not Vilbert. Yes. Got
it. I've been
getting that
it's always
wrong
easy to do that
year.
The wrong way. All right. Smith Vilbert's got to be the last word. That is it for our show. Thank you all for listening, and be sure to join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the goat. Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.
It won't be long before we get back outside for those cookouts and tailgates. And the best way to get ready is at thetailgateclub.com. We feature your favorites from 409 Tailgate with their Peachy Paws barbecue sauce and famous Bloody Mary mix. We also have great condiments you won't find at the grocery store, like bacon ketchup and hot banana mustard. How about sauces like raspberry chipotle and roasted red chili and honey? Head over to thetailgateclub.com. That's thetailgateclub.com for all these amazing products and more.